I've heard statistics like if you take a spoonful of soil, there are millions of organisms in that spoonful of soil. And we maybe know 10% of them.
That's Dr. Thomas Benzing, a professor in James Madison University's School of Integrated Science and Engineering. He's also a research associate for the Virginia Museum of Natural History, and he's an expert on dirt. The reason we only know 10% of microorganisms that live in our soil is because there are so many, millions of them, and they're so small, and because we don't fully understand the complex interconnected relationships that exist between them, it can be hard to isolate them, and that makes them tough to study in a lab. Here in the valley, our soil still bears characteristics from the geologic past. Millions of years ago, the valley was underwater. Those large seas left behind sediments and minerals that contribute to the limestones and sandstones we find in the valley today.
Limestone dissolves well, and we get caves. So, you know, if you go to Grand Caverns or Luray Caverns or places like that, that's all because we have this limestone, and that kind of is unique to the area. The soil scientists and geologists call that karst geology because it's related to the dissolution of limestone.
Additionally, the valley was never fully covered by glaciers, like most of the land further north. And because it didn't undergo such a dramatic freeze, the soil here has become pretty rich and deep.
The other thing that I think it makes the valley unique is its climate. We're kind of in this bowl, right? So we end up in this rain shadow, is what the term is for climate, because we don't get any moisture from those Atlantic storms, and we don't get those, the moisture from the storms that are moving across the Midwest. So we actually have a very low amount of rainfall relative to the rest of Virginia.
Because Dr. Benzing is a soil scientist, he spends time both in the lab and in the dirt to examine not only what forms the soil that sits beneath our feet, but also to learn more about how it works the way it does.
What we talk about when we think of soil is it's really a collection of what we call the parent material, so those rocks, whether they're sand-based or whether they're limestone-based, together with everything that kind of falls to the soil, all the organic materials like decaying leaves and other organic matter that fall into the soil and then get consumed by a community of organisms that live in the soil. So the soil is actually alive, and that's kind of interesting to think about.
It's alive?
Yeah. So there are all kinds of microorganisms that live in the soil. We probably are aware that, tree roots work their way through soils, and the tree roots actually host a whole community of organisms that live off of some of the nutrients that come from the roots, and there's kind of a symbiosis between those roots and these microorganisms.
And it's not just one kind of organism.
I'm talking about bacteria, I'm talking about fungi, I'm talking about protozoans. There's a whole community of organisms that live in the soil, many of which we haven't yet even identified. We're learning to understand that those become really important for certain types of plants because of this symbiosis. If you don't have those organisms, those plants may not thrive in the soil. And some of the practices that we use to treat our soil can actually damage that.
Farmers have harnessed the relationships between plants and microorganisms for thousands of years through crop rotation.
So just to give you one example, there are some organisms that are able to take nitrogen from the atmosphere and fix it into a form that plants can use. And some plants host those organisms quite well, like what we call the legumes, alfalfa, beans, things like that will actually host these organisms.
Farmers might plant alfalfa one year and then switch to a crop like corn the next, which doesn't benefit from this kind of symbiotic relationship. The corn can absorb some of the nitrogen that was left in the soil by the alfalfa, and then the crops are just rotated back and forth. This allows farmers to manage these crops without having to artificially add fertilizers to the soil, which can sometimes damage the ecosystems in and around the soil. For those of us who aren't farmers, Dr. Benzing had a few suggestions for how we can responsibly interact with the soil in our backyards as well.
The homeowner or maybe the listener to this show might think about how they manage their own landscaping, right? So if you've got gutters or downspouts that are allowing the water to run off your roof, where does that water go? Does it go into a drain and ultimately to the stream? Or does it go to the soil to moisten the soil and to provide for the growth of whatever landscaping you might have.
Feeding nutrients into the soil offers another set of questions.
Are you using fertilizers? Are you using the right amount of fertilizers? Are you putting them in at the right amount at the right time? Does your soil really need those fertilizers? So those are things that homeowners might want to look into. And there are resources. You can go to Cooperative Extension and get soil testing done. So those are some things to think about.
The Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation has a lawn care guide on its website, put together in collaboration with the EPA. If you're looking for a starting point in your own eco-friendly lawn care journey, you can find a link to the guide on our webpage for this episode. For Shenandoah Valley Evergreen, I'm Sydney Roth.